Father, we thank you for everything that you've already allowed us to do and everything that you allow us to see. Father, we know that you are here with us, and for such we give you praise and thanks. God, we need you more than ever. As we look all around us, it seems like we're in such great troubling times. But nevertheless, God, we know that you have this entire world in your hands. And most of all, God, ask for me right now, as I open my mouth to speak on your behalf before your people, Father, I ask you to use me for your glory. Let it be less of me and more of you. As a matter of fact, God, let it be all of you and none of me. And for such, we give you thanks and praise. So, God, let these words fall on fertile ground, fertile hearts, that in due season it will grow up and produce the fruit in which you so desire. And it's in your Son Christ's precious name that we all pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm coming from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. God will take care of you. But before I read the scripture, yesterday as I was studying, I encounter a short story about two young children who knocked on a stranger's door requesting their old newspapers. Somehow the author did not name the country, the city, or the town where this story took place. However, when the woman of the house answered the door, to her surprise, standing there was two young children, cold and hungry. Therefore, she invited them in for much more than the requested newspapers. She said they trotted in with their little wet feet and sat at the table, where she served them hot cocoa and toast with jam. The jam to help fortify their bodies against the outside chill. She then went back to looking over her monthly budget. The silence in the room next to her struck a chord to her. So she went back into the room only to find the little girl with an empty cup in hand looking at it. And as she went in the room, the little boy asked her with a flat voice, "Lady, are you rich?" "Am I rich? Mercy, no," she replied. Putting the cup back in its saucer carefully, "Your cups match your saucers," said the little girl. After the children left with their newspaper, the woman sat down to ponder over her many blessings. Let us read 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. And it reads, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flow into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterwards, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Verse 15 and 16. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his words. My friend, the thought that God will create a world and set up a system for it to function on its own does not make much sense to me. It is like a rich person purchasing a great piece of land or maybe an island. He then set up an empire that with a system he desires. But then he leaves it to function on its own. A rational mind would say that just does not add up. And as we take a hard look at our lives and filter our thoughts through God's word, we would conclude that God is taking care of us. Even when we don't act, God still shows compassion on us. Sometimes in our haste, we forget to pray and we make hasty decisions. But God turns what should have been a mess into a message. During these troublesome times, people are praying every day for heavenly relief from COVID-19. And as we see now, with all the disturbance, maybe some may call it rioting, some may call it protesting, some may even call it demonstration. But during these times, there are so many of us are praying for heavenly relief, as well as we should. However, because of the pandemic, there are no sporting activities. Now millions of people are home working or even unemployed. Therefore, when the terrible death of Mr. George Floyd was seen across the world on TV, this caused the majority to see what the minority was already seeing and known. When it's not business as usual, we slow down and take notice. I am reminded that I once lived in New York. And in New York, Brooklyn and other cities like that, they have church on every corner, or even between the corners, their church. And oftentimes we don't notice it, but until there's a funeral procession that is coming out of there, or some great activity that is taking place in there, we tend to stop and take notice. And I want to point you to a situation that caused Jesus to take notice. It was not business as usual in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 17. As Jesus was entering a city called Nain, it was not business as usual for this widow. She was distressed. She had no husband, and now her only son had died. So she was on the brink of being destitute. So here in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, it says, "Now it happened." You see, I love when the Bible says, "Now it happened," as if God didn't know what was happening. But God is always aware of what is happening. But the Bible has this beautiful way of putting it so that we can understand it in our own way. It says, "Now it happened the day after that, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding regions." Amen.
Amen.
Because in those days, if the husband died before his wife, the son is responsible for the welfare of the mother. But Jesus, as we saw what happened in this story, Jesus was passing by, and he brought the young man back to life. You see, the Bible says that Jesus had compassion on her. Jesus showed pity. He was sympathetic, as most of us are when someone lost their loved one. Jesus was truly concerned about this widow's suffering and misfortunes. Without even asking, God took care of this widow's affairs. He had compassion on her. You see, the thing about compassion is more than being concerned. Compassion should move us to do something. Compassion should move us into action. It was compassion that caused the Good Samaritan to help the nameless man who fell among thieves. The thieves stripped him of his clothing, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. That can be found in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. But in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan. You see, this Samaritan showed up on the scene after the priest and the Levite had passed on the other side of the road when they saw the man laying there half dead. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 33, the Bible says, but a certain Samaritan, and if you know anything about the Samaritans, they were kind of half-breed. They were mixed. They were mixed Jews. So they weren't well liked by the Jews, and it could be as it could be like if a black person is coming down a street and they saw a white person being left there half dead. And as that black person is journeying down the street, that black person had compassion on the white person, because the Bible says that certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Because why I said a black person and a white person, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. So here is a Samaritan taking care of someone that he should not be taking care of. You see, I want to believe that Job's friends, his three friends, had compassion on him until they opened their mouth to speak. Job's friends in Job chapter 2, verses 11 through 13, talks a little bit about what took place in the time of Job. Verse 11 says, and when Job's three friends heard of all his adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his place, Elphaz, the Temite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. You see, compassion will cause you to come and comfort those who need to be comforted. And verse 12 says, and when they had raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. Sometimes when calamity comes on people, we cannot even recognize that person. When we see that person, we, like Job's friends, we would start weeping because we cannot recognize the person who we know so well. Verse 13 says, so they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was great. Compassion caused Job's friends to come and sit with him for 7 days and seven nights. And sometimes we need people to come alongside us when we are grieving over whatever situation that we're experiencing. And Job's friends did just that. They showed great compassion for him. And least I forget, as a group, I want to remind all of us that Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 says, through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. God's mercies are there for us every morning. Not because we ask him, he already gave it to us before we can even blink an eye. My friends, I just want you to know that God will take care of you. So as we return to the scripture of the day in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. Here we have the prophet of God, and in Elijah, a Tishbite, assigned to be speak to, and his assignment was to speak a word to King Ahab. And he gave King Ahab the word in verse 1 of chapter 17, in the latter part of verse 1. He says, "As the Lord God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall be no dew, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And verse 2 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from there." You see, you don't just show up and give a word to a king and think that you are going to be safe if that word is not pleasing to the king's ear. It is said that one of the gods that King Ahab worshipped, and King Ahab's wife, who was Jezebel, worshipped. They worship a god of the weather and fertility. And it is this same thing that God was coming up against when he gave Elijah the assignment to speak against the god that Ahab and Jezebel was worshiping. And he pronounced a word to them, saying that there shall not be rain nor dew for the next 3.5 years until he says a word. You see, the job of God's prophet is to speak on God's behalf. It is a word that is coming from heaven's throne to the lips of the prophet, and it's going to the ears of the people. And God was using Elijah at that time to do his work. The results, the way it is going to come to pass, belongs to our great God. Talk to yourself and tell somebody, God will take care of you. And for some of us, tell yourself, God will take care of me. He never fails me yet. As one songwriter would say, Jesus Christ never fails me yet. Therefore, the Bible says that God took care of Elijah. How did I know that? Because the Bible tells Elijah in the very third verse, he says, the Bible says, to get away from there and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. As I said earlier, you don't just show up and speak to a king and tell him that you are going to mess up his economy and think that life is going to be good for you. Now it's time for you to put on your running shoes. And Elijah had to leave that place and go and where God was sending him. And it's a peculiar situation. And I believe it's a peculiar situation because we, as God people, are peculiar people. And God sent Elijah to a place which he's going to take care of him, but in a strange way. And the Bible says in verse 4, he says, "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Here God was going to use birds to feed the prophet that he chose. And not just birds or any kind of bird, it was going to be ravens that God was using to feed Elijah. And most of us wouldn't want a raven to bring anything to us. But God set up a raven delivery service for his prophet. Amen. Fresh delivery was going to be served to him in the morning and in the evening. Amen. So says the Bible says, then the Bible says in verse 5, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook which flows into the Jordan." Verse 6 says, "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. But all good things do come to an end at some point or another. It's because then when that period, which was over, God made a decision that he was going to send Elijah elsewhere. Because the Bible says in verse 7, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, so here is God speaking to his prophet once again, because he had pronounced that there was going to be no rain or no dew on the land. And as according to God's word, it came to pass. So though God had sent him to a brook, now the brook was dry. Amen. And so the word of God came to him a second time, and he said to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. God is sending him to another place in which God can continue to provide for him. You see, when God gives you an assignment, God will provide for you for that assignment. Whatever task God has for you, God has the materials for you to do that task. You just got to seek, you just got to continue to work in the plan in which God is setting up for you. And when he got there, to me, this woman was experiencing what I believe many others in the region was already experiencing. And it was a lack of resources. Jesus himself spoke of this amazing encounter between Elijah and the widow in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. In Luke 4:25, it says, but I tell you, truly, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. And verse 26 says, but to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. My friends, God will take care of you. You can be in a land of where there is a famine, but God will take care of you. Amen? This woman barely had enough to feed her son and herself. It was supposed to be, it should have been, it could have been their last meal. But good things happen when you share the little that you have. Amen? Amen? Good things happen when you share the little that you have. And just for a little sidebar, there was another story that caught my attention. There was a city where there was so much hunger that some of the people, most of the poor people, had an extreme situation. But like in everything, where there's rich, where there's poor, there's always rich. And some of the rich people were taking care of the poor people. So this person decided that she is going to take some food to this family who was also a widow, and she had 8 children. And as she took the food to this household, she noticed the great hunger and poverty that was in this house. But when the woman received the food and gave thanks for it, the person noticed that she took half of the food and went out the back door. And then she took a minute before she came back in. When she came back in, the person asked her, where did you go? She said, I went to my neighbor because my neighbor have a greater need than I. Sometimes we could have a great need, but there's another person who is having a greater need, and we will think that I cannot share the little that I have. But God will bless you even more if you share that little that you have, because the Bible says if you've been faithful over a little, God will give you more. Amen? And especially when you share with the prophet of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, the English Standard Version reads, "The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." This widow can surely say, the blessing of this Lord adds no sorrow. Amen. God turns her sorrow to joy, her sadness to jubilee. From depression, she went to elation. Whatever was empty, God filled it up for her. Can you see her now? Can you picture this woman? Fresh wind beneath her wings, a fresh burst of energy that did not come from an energy drink. Amen? Because an energy drink, the buzz from that energy drink will run out soon. There is something beautiful about a timely word. I'm coming to a close soon. There is something beautiful about a timely word. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, in my everyday study Bible, it reads like this. Proverbs chapter 25, 11. The right word spoken at the right time is as beautiful as gold apples in a silver bowl. The right word spoken at the right time is as beautiful as gold apples in a silver bowl. Can we now truly envision this woman? She now have a little pep in her step, a little more joy in her song. She is now trading in that old song of going up yonder to be with my Lord. Because if you remember, she was saying that she's going to bake a cake and she and her son will die. She was thinking about going up yonder to be with her Lord. But she is trading that song, and she's now singing a song, "I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right." And some of you sing in the background, "Oh, oh, oh, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right," because God will take care of you.
Amen.
You see, you know, I know this because the Bible says that in chapter 17, verse 15 and 16 of 1 Kings, 17, 15, and 16, it says, "So she went her way and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days." Can I get an amen? She went her way according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Amen. You see, God have a way of working on our behalf. As I come to a close, we know that at times life can be a great struggle from day to day. We don't know what the situation will be, but we need to know that God will take care of us.
Amen.
And as Amen. We often wonder, how will God take care of us? It is not if he will take care of us, but it's how he will take care of us. Which takes me back to the story of the two children that I introduced to you in the beginning. You see, those two children knocked on a stranger's door, and they asked for some old newspapers so that those newspapers can keep them warm in the cold of the winter. They can put it around their bodies. They can lay on that newspaper, or maybe some cardboard boxes, some things that we throw out on a daily basis. But they got an even bigger blessing. Therefore, I'm telling you and I'm reminding you that we can go ahead and plan. We can go ahead and work. We can go ahead and do all that God puts our hands to do. However, we need to leave room so that God will be able to take care of us. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God for that word. Amen. Praise God. God is going to take care of us. He's already taking care, and he will continue to take care of us. Praise God for that word. We know that times are hard, but if you just look into the scriptures, as we did this morning, you can see that it has been worse. There have been worse times. There have been famines. There have been diseases that are worse than COVID-19. And God's people were protected from it. God's people were blessed because they knew a God that was more powerful than whatever situation they were going through. I thank God for this word. God will be there for us, and his resources will not run out. We will have all of the resources we need. Praise God. That bowl of oil will not run out. Our hopes will not run out. Our faith will not run out. We will have what we need if we just trust in God. And we know that God has raised people from the dead. I mean, we literally have seen, as the word showed us, when Jesus saw a widow who needed her son, her only son who had died, he raised her from the dead. What is impossible for God? Nothing is impossible for God is the answer. And we know that what is impossible for man is not impossible for God. So we just thank God for this powerful word. We know that it is going to be a challenge sometimes to remember when we see that the things around us are looking unsteady, when we see that people around us are losing hope. But we have a word to hold on to. God will take care of you, and God will always take care of those who trust in him, those who believe in him, those who stand on his word. So you need to hold on to God. I just thank God for that word. I love it when Elder Henry read that psalm about gold apples in a silver bowl. You know, that's you can have the most beautiful apples in a beautiful bowl, even at a time when of famine, because God has a way of giving you more than you even asked for or imagined. You go in and you ask for some cardboard or some paper or newspaper so that you can stay warm. And he feeds you with a full meal and you know, a warm house. He gives you a roof over your head. I mean, God does more than you ask for and can imagine. But praise God for this word. We just thank God. And we know that right now we need to not just hold on to that word, but to share that word with those who are losing hope and losing heart. Those who are overwhelmed and get to the point of giving up. We just need to tell them about the story of the widow and the widow who even with all of the drought, if she had to have faith in order to feed Elijah. She had to trust the word of God, and she did. And later, her son got sick. Her son stopped breathing, right? And if it hadn't been for the prophet being there, she wouldn't have had him restored to her. So we just thank God for the reading and the hearing of his word. And we just thank God for what he's doing in Christ First Church, even as the COVID-19 crisis has hit. The need people have for food has grown. God has continually blessed the Hugs and Hope ministry to continue to feed. And without even slowing down, we've in fact sped it up and giving out more food. Find new ways to give out food. We just continue to be blessed to see that ministry continue to grow. So we just thank God. And and now is the time. If you do not know that the Lord can take you from where you are in a drought to where you are in the land of plenty, to where you are in the valley of the shadow of death, where fear is running rampant, he could take you to the mountain on high, the high point, the high place, where you can have hope and you can see a future that is waiting for you. If you don't know that God, this is the time to turn your life over to Jesus. This word is all about faith. This word this morning was all about how you have to have hope. You have to have you have to trust in something more than yourself. You can't you can't feed yourself with just a little bit of flour, but God can take that flour and multiply it. And so we all need to take a moment. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got to ask yourself, are you trying to do this alone? You need power from on high. You need the God of the universe on your side. So you need to offer your life to Jesus. Give him your heart so that he can take care of you. We just thank God for the word that continues to give us hope that no matter how bad it gets, God has a plan. And the plan is to bless us and to give us a hope and a future. We know that God's plan is to make all things work together for our good. So just continue to hold on to that word. Praise God. So if you need to pray with someone, we also want to do that with you too. And again, in the emails or the texts that go out, we have phone numbers there for people to pray if you want to call to someone to pray for you. But we just thank God for speaking word to us for this week, as well as the rest of this month and the rest of this season of COVID-19 and all of the different challenges that are going on with the different protests that are going on. But God, we know God is going to be there throughout it all. So we just want to right now, just as a church, we want to just take a time, Lord, to lift up in prayer as we close. To remember that even as God is taking care of us, he wants to use us to take care of someone else. That's why we give. That's why the woman who had just a mite put her mite into the treasury, because she believed that the God who could take care of her wanted her to bless others as well. And so we still want to be giving our tithes and our offering, and we want to lift that up as well so that God could use us as well for the upbuilding of his kingdom. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, God. We just ask you, Lord, for anyone who doesn't know you in our midst, God, that they would right now turn their hearts over to you, Lord, that they would look to you, God. They would see around them a world full of strife, God, full of ups and downs, of upheaval is everywhere, God. But help people right now to remember that when the world on the outside is going crazy, that God offers us a peace that passes all understanding on the inside. God, we need for those who don't know you to give their lives to you this morning, God, so that they'll be able to see your salvation and hope in you. And Lord God, we just thank you and praise you for those who are willing to give, God, to those who are willing to give their offerings and their tithes this morning and this afternoon as well, God. We just thank you and praise you. We ask you to bless that offering, God. Bless the tithe, Father God, so that your kingdom, God, may continue to bless people, especially now, especially in difficult and dangerous times. We just thank you and praise you, God, for this word, God. We thank you for the people who came to hear your word, God, that their hearts would be encouraged, and that the people of God would be blessed. And all the people of God In Jesus' name we say, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. God bless you.
God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you for putting us together. Amen.
Amen.
Traveling mercy for everyone. May everyone have a blessed week. Traveling mercy to Pastor and Sister Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Thank you. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you, man. God bless you.